This is the EWN Radio Network.
Hello and welcome to Idea Success with Sylvia, the place you need to be for the next hour for information and inspiration to turn your dreams into dollars, your concepts into cash, and your ideas into income and impact.
And if you want to get your ideas or help others get theirs into action, you are in the right place for the next 60 minutes. If you need to get out of your head and get things done, then stay tuned for the next hour. Hi, I'm Sylvia Henderson, and people call me the Maven of Implementation. I'm honored that you've chosen to spend your most valuable resource in your life, your time, with me today. This show is about ideas, getting, clarifying, implementing, and supporting ideas. I interview people who put ideas into action, realized their dreams, achieved their goals, and followed through with their intentions to bring you best practices you can use right away to actively create your own success. And I interview experts in a wide range of fields who are resources for you to call on to make an income and impact with your ideas. And today I am honored and thrilled to have not only an expert, but a very good friend and colleague, and I don't say good friend very often, Tassie Russo. Tassie, welcome to Idea Success.
Hey there, Sylvia. Hello. Thank you very much for having me on the line and taking time today to talk and give the listeners some more great information about their ideas and moving them forward to having a prosperous business for themselves.
And that thrills me to no end because we have spent hours on the telephone. And so this next hour is just another hour on the phone between us, but hours on the phone talking about business development and branding and marketing and all of that good stuff. And I just wanted to bring some of that wisdom, some of that goodness to my listeners. Before I launch into sort of how you got started or how you got to where you are now, because a lot of listeners will not be looking at a computer screen, I always read the title in the description. So the title of this program is From Job to Legacy, Move from Employee to Owner to CEO of Your Business. You have an idea and you take the entrepreneurial road to start your business. You make good progress with admirable success, yet you can't seem to get to the level you envisioned at the start. Why? What can you do, I have to read, to break the barrier to the next steps? Or do you alter your original vision? Join Tassie Russo, business strategist. Website is levelupsolutions.com, as she shares how to create more influence and build a greater platform to make your ideas and your business soar. So that's the description of the program. And the question I always start out with all my guests is, so what idea or ideas did you have that you put into action to bring you to the point of where you are now? I mean, I know that's a loaded question, but you came from very, very high up corporate America and to launch your own business. And listeners kind of want to know, what in the world possessed somebody to do that?
That's an excellent question, and for so many of us, Sylvia, it's a long journey actually, from prior experience and prior corporate experience or employment to having that light bulb, if I can say, go off, and you look at yourself or you think about yourself and say, "Gee, I could do this for myself." And that's really what happened for me, because as a corporate technology executive and also as a consultant to many nonprofit organizations, I had for over 25 years been working with the company or working with clients to help them to understand how to put legs underneath their ideas about the technology and the processes that they had within their organizations, and to really do that in a way that allowed them to look forward on a planning horizon strategically, you know, 5, 6, maybe even 7 years. And I did that for a very long time, as I mentioned, over 25 years. And then around 2004, 2005, I had realized that in many instances, especially with those companies to which I consulted, that a lot of the work I had done just went on a shelf. And, yeah, it was frustrating and disappointing because I wanted to see what I had worked on. I wanted to see my ideas and the collaborative work with my clients grow to be what we thought it could be if it was actually executed. And when it wasn't, I turned around and said, you know, I can do this for other businesses, smaller businesses, and actually have the immediacy, maybe even the intimacy, of directly working with the business owner. And I thought that would be more fulfilling. Now, that really is what started it all. And through the course of that, what I also thought was, you know, I can probably do this. I can gain some flexibility in my business day, in my business week, as my children were getting older. And I also thought, I can make enough money at this to actually pay for college tuitions. That's how that idea, that light bulb of saying, I can do this myself and for companies that I can see a more immediate return, ultimately moved me toward, in 2006, establishing my first business.
You know, that's such a, I get that wanting to see your results. You know, when I started out, I had a training and development business. I still do, but really focused on training. And training is all, it seems to be like a hit and run kind of thing, where you come in, you train, they love you, they love the material, and the material goes on the shelf, just like you just said. And so, you know, likewise, I can identify with, I would like to see whether any of this training, any of this development really gets put into action and really gets implemented. And so, I get what you're saying about wanting to see what you've worked with actually take flight, take shape.
I think it's what you said in your intro. It's about impact. It's about influence. And you really, any individual, whether it's in your personal life or your business life, you want to know that people are hearing you, and that they, you know that Sally Field, when she accepted the Oscar, I think it was for Terms of Endearment, she said, you like me, you really like me.
Yeah.
You want people to feel that, not just about you as an individual or a professional, but you want people to feel that about your ideas. You want them to feel it about what your recommendations are. And yeah, absolutely. You want them to run with it. I still do.
Yeah. You just used a really interesting term that I don't hear a lot, and we're going to dig into that a lot more, the word influence. So, you know, we're going to hold that on the tongue because there's something else you mentioned that I wanted to say. You were talking about working with a company and looking ahead 5 to 7 years for their planning. And I realize coming from corporate America, yeah, you do 5-year planning. But I'm thinking, oh my gosh, in this day and age, maybe even for corporations at this point, that's like 2 business lifetimes, you know, especially for entrepreneurs. 5 to 7 years, the world changes drastically in that period of time. Does your forward thinking change, you know, has it changed now to be a lot less?
Absolutely. Those numbers in terms of strategic horizon setting, those numbers of years, really were the late 90s and the early 2000s. Okay, yeah, I'm dating myself. I admit it, folks. But today it can't be. It can't be. When you consider the mobile apps that are out there and how quickly they spring up on your smartphone, my gosh, I just read in our local newspaper, the Washington Post, about the fact that this summer, if not as we're speaking, Google is going to be releasing, and other car manufacturers are going to be releasing driverless cars. So question, yeah, absolutely. Your planning horizon today really is somewhere between 1 to 3 years. And I would say that's more on a corporate level, enterprise level. For small business owners, and I'll define a small business owner as an individual who has others working with them, either as, you know, as a 1099 contractor or in a virtual team or a staff of maybe 5 to 10 or 15 people. Small business owners and entrepreneurs really can't even look 3 years out. You have to look more along the lines of 10 to 18 months out, because that's how much the terrain shifts technologically, and now we have to say, I'll say socially, when you consider the social media channels, Twitter, Facebook, etc., and also economically. You know, we've come out of 2008, what happened with the economy there, it's been a real struggle, and we're beginning to get a foothold on better economic times, but still, you know, you have to consider the what ifs and how do I keep it going or how do I recover if one of those what ifs occurs. And that really does demand that you are light on your feet and you can handle being a more dynamically strategic company and maybe even organically strategic, if that makes sense, although it sounds contrary, but I don't think that it is.
Interesting terms, dynamic strategy, dynamically strategic. I can't even spell it. I'm trying to write it down here. Dynamically and organically strategic. You know, it almost brings, in many circles, I hear about being holistic. And I don't mean the touchy-feely holistic, but we hear the word holistic. And some of us who are more linear thinking, our eyes roll when we hear that term. But in a way, when I hear dynamic and organic, that almost strikes me as holistic in a way, looking at, you know, many aspects that move quickly.
They are. It is holistic. And I agree with you. We don't have to think in terms of sensory necessarily, which I believe most of our minds, when we hear that term holistic, we immediately go there. But we're thinking about the whole. You know, very often you hear, consider the entire picture. You know, get that, or back in our corporate days, Sylvia, you may remember that the term a lot of people used was get up to the 10,000 foot level. And why?
Yeah.
Because you can see everything. You can see far better when you're at 10,000 feet than you are at 100 feet. And that's really where, go ahead.
There's going to be a slight delay, so we'll talk over each other for a second. There was an article, we're talking about the Post, we read the same paper, today, I think, even, about a genius, I can't remember his name right now, but he was a mathematical genius, Nobel Prize winner, and he just passed away. And it said something about, it's the person who the movie A Beautiful Mind was done about. And it, somebody said that this person, people would climb a mountain peak. They would look for a path to get up to the top of the mountain. You were talking about 10,000 feet. Whereas this guy would go up a different mountain, look over to mountain number one, shine a beam of light over there to see where he might forge the path, you know, see where the path might most efficiently be built or laid or whatever word. So that kind of made me think when you said the 10,000 foot level, You know, we have to look at things differently today in order to respond to the business environment.
Yeah, that's really true. His name is John Nash, and the movie was A Beautiful Mind. But that's absolutely true. You know, it's interesting because very often, this is a great metaphor, the mountain, because as you're climbing that mountain, you're not seeing as much, right? That's the 150 or 500 foot level. And that's very similar to being in our businesses and not being able to allow ourselves the time or the space to look further out. We're only seeing what we can see from where we're at. But as we keep going up and we summit, and some peaks might not be 10,000 feet, some goals might not be grandiose business goals, but they're smaller goals. And as we get there, that's when we need to stop and we need to take the view from that higher level and say, okay, where do we go next? You know, you've reached one level, one plateau. How do I get to the next one? How do I get to the next one? So it's a really wonderful metaphor. And when you get to the top peak, that's when you can really look out over everything and your juices really get going because the whole world is yours. And that wonderful segue, because that's really what I wanted to have our more in-depth discussion on today. It's about looking at where you are today in your business, thinking about what you had envisioned when you started the business, and then also allowing yourself to really look and say, where do I want to be? Do I still want to be in the same place I first thought I did? And if I'm already there, then what? What do I do next?
Yeah.
Or if you're not there and you still have that vision, that aspiration, why aren't you there? What's that barrier that's preventing you from moving it forward and creating the business that you wanted to have when you first started? Mm-hmm. And that's really, you know, we've just talked about being the climb, which is fascinating because when you and I held our retreat last year, we had, excuse me, if you remember, we had the flyer with the mountaintop and we said, reach up to results, and
yeah.
You know, it's about summiting, and that's really what this. It's an evolution. It's a journey, and the way I've really looked at it is, I've had to consider this for myself and for clients. You do look and say, "What brought me to this point?" That was your first question today, Sylvia,
right. And
then you have to say, "Okay, what did I do, or what am I doing?" And am I still working at that same level, or have I progressed? And if I've progressed, to what? And has it been fulfilled all the way? Oh, no, it hasn't. So where do I want it to go? As I've looked at that, I've thought about it as, well, I'll tell a little bit of my story, a little bit more of my story. When I started my first business, now, hard to believe, you know, that was in 2006. So quite a number of years has passed, 9 years. And what I did when I started that business, I went in with the idea I mentioned at the top of this hour, which was, I want to be able to work with small business people, and I want to have that closeness, and I want to see my recommendations brought to reality. And oh, by the way, I also wanted to pay college tuition. And those, you know, those were two reasonable goals, and I hit them pretty quickly. I very soon was making, on a regular basis, close to $100,000 in a year, and I had a full practice of clients, providing them technical know-how, operational process development, things of that sort. And I kept just moving forward. And after 4 years of doing that, what I realized was that, well, the common term we heard is burned out. I woke up one morning, and that was in early 2011, and I said, you know, I'm just not jazzed by this anymore. But even went deeper than that, Sylvia, because I was making money. I had clients I really enjoyed working with, but I was working 6 or 7 days a week. And for many of those days, I put in 10, 11, sometimes even 12 hours. I was tired. I was exhausted. I had no time to think about where my company, where I was taking my company. No. I was just looking far enough ahead to know what are the next projects, what are the next tasks I need to do, either for the week or for the month. And I was considering, okay, can I take on another client? Or this client is moving off, let me bring another one on. I didn't think, as we've talked about, I didn't think strategically, and I wasn't even doing it organically as need be. I was just functioning to get through the business that I had in hand. Yeah, that I had created, and I was happy about it, but I was just getting through. What had I really done? I had created the same type of job I had in corporate, now under the, I'll call it the guise, but the reality of my own business. So I was working to get business. I was working to service that business. And on top of everything else, I was working to manage my own business, which is an added step from what I was doing over in corporate. And now what I realized is, if I really thought about it, I was doing all of that, and I wasn't even making what I made in my corporate positions, which was discouraging.
So you started yourself a job.
That's exactly what I did. I actually created, built, and fed a job for myself.
Okay.
Granted, my own company, but that's what I did.
Hmm.
And it was at that point that I realized something else that many listeners may also realize. Because I was working by myself and doing all of the work that I had, you know, contracted to do for clients and putting in those long hours to get it done, I didn't have any more time to get more business and earn more money. So I had pretty much reached my peak level of income generation. There are only 24 hours in a day. There are only 7 days a week.
So using that mountain analogy, you plateaued.
I definitely plateaued. I had plateaued at that point. And it was at that particular point that I had just said, I can't keep it going anymore. This isn't satisfying, which is a really important thing to look at for yourself. And I couldn't really see my way through to earning additional income.
Right.
And there's one other factor. I couldn't really reach more people. I was only working with a select number of small companies.
Okay.
I couldn't reach out further. And those became really telling points in my thought process, reflective points, because I knew by looking at those, I had to make a change. And that's what really caused me to say, what's next? Where do I go from here? And that's really about a mindset change. And if I may say it, taking a pretty, now that I look back, a courageous step to say, I have to pause. I have to make some hard decisions about the business I have today, How do I alter it? What do I keep? What do I not continue with? What do I change in terms of what I'm doing? It's at that point when you start looking at those aspects that you're really beginning to think as what's the next evolutionary step in business development, moving from that job you created to being a business owner. To looking
I'm
and
glad
saying,
you said, I'm glad you said that that was a hard decision, because I'm thinking, okay, you started something, you're making good money. Now, it was scary enough, I would think, to leave. It's scary enough to leave corporate America. I mean, for me, corporate America left me, so it was a little bit of an easier decision to start my own business. But to consciously say, I'm doing this, you know, after making a good salary, that's scary enough. Now you've started doing this and doing it successfully, but then you say, whoa, wait a minute, this isn't stoking me anymore. I'm thinking I go through two thoughts. Number one, so who am I to say that just because this isn't stoking my boat, floating my boat anymore, I should change, because I've made this really big decision to go one way. But then the other, in order to take the time, you already said you took, you know, it was taking all of your time to do what you were doing. So where do you find the time to step back and rethink things? It's almost like you have to stop, and that's scary.
Yeah, that was really scary. And it was scary from the perspective of I'll lose business, I'll lose clients,
right,
which of course translates to I'll lose income.
Right.
And that's exactly what happened. When I reached out to my current clients and I told them that I was going to take, frankly, I was going to give myself a year, all of 2011, and really that I was going to keep doing work for them. But as I was doing that, I wanted them to know that I was going to work toward finding a new focus for the business and new services. And I lost clients, if not immediately, within that that conversation, or a few days later, within
right,
the next month or two. I really only had three clients that stayed on, and then one of those dropped pretty quickly. So ultimately, a year later, and during the course of the latter part of that year of exploration, as I call it, I really only had two clients. I cut my income probably by 80% to 85%.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's why I didn't realize, and this is part of what we struggle with as business owners and entrepreneurs, while I was in the process, I didn't really give these aspects of my decision making enough thought, enough credence. Oh, I'm
okay,
going to lose all this income.
Ah,
all
okay,
I could focus on was I've got to fix what isn't working for me. And while that's important, and I do think it's very important, because that's what allows you to move to the next level. It allows you to get the determination and the commitment, and frankly, the unspoken and perhaps even unrecognized courage to take yourself to the next level. But at the same time, I wasn't doing enough planning. I wasn't thinking, as you had said earlier, perhaps holistically enough to think,
yeah,
well, if I make this decision, here's what's going to really happen.
But the irony is, it's hard to do that for yourself. You need somebody else to help you with doing that, which I'm kind of like making a perfect brief segue into, which is what you do for other people.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is, it's something that I realized, and that too was a matter of commitment and belief in myself, faith in the mentors that I chose to work with during the time period, and still do, by the way. I will tell everyone,
right,
I have a business coach today. And it's also one of the key reasons that led me to say, I want to help other people with this. And that's what caused me, after I was really looking around and seeing where do I take the company, to form a new company called Level Up Solutions in 2012, and to focus on business development and strategic coaching and consulting, allowing people to understand what, where they were at, why they wanted to be a business person, how they got to the point where they were at, and how they could move it to the next. And the next might be the next level of influence, the next level of recognition, the next level of revenue, whatever their next level of was defined to be. I knew, based on my own experience, both in the corporate world and also as a business owner of 4 or 5 years already, I could help people. And that's what I'm still doing today, still working as a business strategist, working with those small business people and solopreneurs who have found that they've plateaued, that and they know, because they've asked themselves that big question, why did I start doing this? Why am I doing it still? That there's more to go, that they want to go to the next level. But they don't have the time. They don't have the energy. They don't have the support structure that they need. And they might not have the money. So how do you overcome those challenges and really move yourself, move your business to that next level?
Hold on to that thought, because that's perfect. Actually, two things. I need to take a break, a real quick break. And so you talked about going from, you know, the deep into the business, no time to really look ahead kind of job, even though it's your own business, to moving to being an owner of your business. So I've got two questions to come back with. Is there another step from owner? Is there something bigger? And then sort of how do we move? You know, how do we do this thing? So those are the two questions to keep on the mind there. And let me take a quick break.
Will do.
This is the EWN Radio Network.
You know those money-making ideas in your head that keep you awake at night, and your life-changing thoughts in the shower that dry up after you dry off? Well, it's time to get them out of your head and into action with Sylvia Henderson and IdeaSuccessNetwork.com. Aren't you tired of having all those ideas, dreaming your dreams, setting goal after goal, and putting out intentions, yet still facing challenges to be fully in action? It's time to turn your dreams into dollars, your concepts into cash, and your ideas into income and impact. Enter your name and email address at IdeaSuccessNetwork.com to get tips and strategies for implementing your ideas with Sylvia's Idea Success Notes. You'll also get a bonus thank you gift for doing so. Don't waste another minute. Go to IdeaSuccessNetwork.com now and get your idea success notes for moving your ideas to action.
And in lieu of another ad, why don't you tell Tassie folks how to reach you, and you know, one or two things you specifically do for them. I mean, you said a lot before the break, but here's your chance to have your promo.
You may reach me at www.levelupsolutions.com, and you can do so by just typing in a message to me on the contact page, and I will absolutely respond. Or you can feel free to send me an email at trusso@levelupsolutions.com. Would love to hear from you. And it really is about assisting you, an entrepreneur, with looking at your future, considering how you experience, again, the euphoria of that business idea, that business service or product that you want to release out to others to help them, and making that a reality for you, not having you just say, this is too much, I can't take it, I can't move it, I don't know how to develop it. It really is about getting over that daunting experience of having to create, having to market, having to sell, and instead seeing it as just a natural component of what is a successful business, your successful business. And for me, it's about helping you through that as your mentor and as your guide, moving from one level of success to another and becoming a purpose-driven, influential, and prosperous business owner.
Whoa. Love those terms. Love those terms. So let me get back to the question that I asked before the break, and that is, you know, is there, once you see yourself or act like an owner, which is different from being in the muck and constantly being having a job at your own business, is there a higher, even a higher ground, a higher height than just owner?
There is, and that's really the last phase of business development. It's a phase that I will have to say, though, that not everyone necessarily wants to aspire to. But if you do, that last phase is becoming a CEO, a chief executive officer, a leader of your business, being an individual who is no longer involved in the day-to-day management and revenue generation of your company, but instead being that inspirational, motivational, forward-thinking, and I'm going to add innovative leader that can really take the company to new heights or new directions. But you can't do it if you're still working the business on the day-to-day level.
Wow.
So that's why you get to that point of being a CEO, and you allow yourself to really not shrug off, but to really very thoughtfully and diligently take the burdens of running the business, directing the business, and allowing them to slough off and move to other individuals.
Ooh,
so
this is a tough part, delegation.
Delegation, absolutely. But that's the key. That's really one of the keys to moving from one phase of business development to another. Let me give you a few characteristics of each phase.
Okay.
So that listeners can say, oh, I am in that. That's where I am. If you're an employee of your own business.
Yeah.
You're doing a job. And here are some characteristics. You are aware of your passion, your expertise, your skills, and your proficiencies. And you deliver services based on those.
Okay.
You deliver services based on what you can do. And I emphasize you. You're caught up in the work tasks, and you can only see the most current or the most immediate opportunities. You're not really focusing on growth or profitability in a sustainable way. And, you know, I've mentioned this, you're going to max out on your earning potential. You're going to max out on your growth potential.
So I used
so
to.
So really,
I used to.
Go ahead.
When I was, I dubbed myself CEO from the very beginning of starting business. But I used to jokingly and seriously, though, say that means chief everything officer, because I'm cleaning
yes.
the toilet at night. I'm stapling the papers for the handouts, as well as developing the programs and that I was teaching, as well as trying to find new clients. That sounds like there's nothing to brag about, though, if I want to get bigger. So you're almost talking about moving from chief everything officer to really chief executive officer.
That's exactly what it is. And what I was going to say is when you do all of those things, you wear all hats.
Yep.
That's the, you know, but you're right. You're chief everything officer. And you really can't look at your business objectively. You can't look at it strategically. You're just caught up in the moment. And everything else that you need to develop that, to really grow that business, is either non-existent or it's a seat of the pants decision-making and implementation process.
Yeah.
And as many of us know, that might work sometimes. It will not work all the time. And those are really the characteristics and the type of situation when you're working as an employee of your own company.
So what do we?
If,
what's the characteristics
however,
of? Okay, go ahead. I was just going to
yeah.
move you on to the owner. What's the characteristics?
If, however, you're really now making the decision to be a business owner, what you have, and perhaps grudgingly, what you have acknowledged and accepted, is that you cannot do it all. That you have to get help. So there's your delegation. That's
okay.
your pivot point, is delegation. And you look to outsource. You look to outsource strategically for both operations and, in time, new services.
Hmm.
And what you'll find in as you're a business owner, and this is what's so interesting to me, probably because I admit it, I raised my hand. This is the phase I'm in. I still, despite having now a team of individuals that support me in my graphic work, my website, I have a virtual assistant, I have a video editor, despite having that team, I still hold very close those two or three key services that I believe that only I can do and do best.
Okay. Okay.
But when you think about that, and I have experienced it, I imagine you have, and so too have listeners, when you are still involved operationally and when you still believe that there are things that only you can do, it can create a bottleneck. It can slow things down. Inefficiencies, operational inefficiencies, loss of opportunity. You just can't react as quickly, and you certainly can't be as proactive as you should be. And that's the result, and that's the situation you find yourself in when you're a business owner. You've made improvements, you've taken the next steps, but what you haven't done is really fully own up to the fact that you probably shouldn't be doing even the things that you're still doing.
Okay.
That
now
will
you're
come
gonna butt
in time.
In. Now I'm going to butt in here because my blood just went up a little bit, and I'm thinking, okay, as a listener, you know, the whole point of, we were talking earlier about passion, the whole point of going into business typically is, I want to do for me what I did for, you know, I want to do for me what I did for corporate, for somebody else. So, because I love, I love training. I love speaking. And so I started my own training and development business. I didn't think of it then as a training and development business, but so I started training on my own. That's probably what, that's the job. And so as like you, as I've delegated things and said, okay, but I don't need, while I'm good at training. I love it. But I don't need to be creating my own website. you know, could do it, could
right.
figure it out, but don't need to be doing it. So started delegating some things. I don't need to format a Word document, so I hand that off to an administrative assistant. But I still love the training and the speaking. So now as the owner, and this is where the blood just went up, you could probably tell in the voice. So as an owner, you know, but I don't want to give up the training and the speaking because that's the whole reason I started a business. So how do I rectify that with, but I do want to be a bigger business?
Well, speaking is interesting that you mentioned that because speaking actually is something that you can do. It's hard to do that as an employee of your company, but as a business owner and certainly as a CEO, speaking is something that you can do in either role. It's mandatory almost as a CEO because speaking, one of the roles of a CEO is to do relationship building and to do influence building.
Okay.
And that's ideal. That's the ideal result when you're a speaker. Also, when you branch out to be a CEO, and here are the characteristics of a CEO, you have now accepted that you're really best not being in your business, but being about your business.
Hmm.
Allowing yourself to be that idea generator, that innovator, the creator, the influence builder, the relationship or connector to others who have ideas, to others who have platforms that can extend your passion. You talked about passion. You don't ever give up that passion. But let me ask you this, Sylvia. Let me ask the listeners. If you have a passion, wouldn't you rather be able to be an influential leader that can reach 10 times or 100 times more people with your passion, with your ideas, with what can help them in life, and do that rather than being that business owner that's still sitting behind the desk doing those two or three things that you think nobody but you can do?
That's an interesting
way
to...
It's also a little bit about giving up the whole idea of being the perfect or ultimate business person. And, of course, we're back to your point of delegation because the pivot point between being a business owner and being a CEO once more is delegation. I was going to say, it's really now saying that other people that I've picked, that I've mentored, can really run my business, manage my business, deliver the services. You might, and many, many CEOs do, keep certain key clients as clients that only you service.
Ah.
Now, you'll do that at a higher level of income. So pricing becomes something you'll be aware of. If they're getting you and you're the CEO,
right,
they're paying a higher price, which is great. So that's something you can still hold on to, but you become highly selective in that work.
I like that. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like I'm almost asking myself, and listeners are asking themselves, which is why I titled the program From Job to Legacy, what's the legacy I want to leave at the end of my, you know, with my business? Do I want to leave a legacy of, wow, that Sylvia was a great trainer. She did great training. Mm-hmm. Or do I want to leave a legacy of having 100 people, I have a bigger one actually, but a legacy of having helped 100 people get their ideas into action for profit and for purpose. So it sounds like that's the difference between those two questions, and so my actions are going to kind of determine which legacy I leave.
That's exactly right.
Wow.
You really do have to ask yourself, why did I start doing this? Is that reason still valid? And if it is, generally, that reason is going to inform the legacy you want to leave. And it will inform the type of business owner you want to strive and work to become.
Mm.
You know, recently I had this discussion. It was a very off-the-cuff discussion I had with someone that I met in a networking event. And, you know, we followed up with a little bit deeper discussion over coffee. And I had looked at this individual and I said, you know, you're really still operating as an employee. Where you really want to be is as a business owner, and this is what you can do. And I suggested two or three things. And his response, when I met him again a few weeks later, he said, that was a life-changing conversation.
Wow.
Because he had, in the short time that I hadn't seen him between the second and third discussions, he had made several of the changes. For example, he went from being in a home office, he rented office space, which immediately shifted his mindset.
Right.
He was now really going to an office. He was going to a, for lack of a better way of saying it, perhaps, in his mind, it's a real business.
Yeah.
And you act differently. You think differently. You project differently when you meet people. That's how being on this course, this journey, and doing it intentionally with thought and with planning can really change things for you as a business owner. You as a trainer, Sylvia, will think that if you delivered, you know, $75,000 worth of training in the next 6 months, that might be a success. But
you would be exhausted.
But you as an individual who can perhaps reach 100 times 100 more people, imagine how you spread your passion and you get more people motivated and more people are thinking about, I can do this too. If she can, I can. And that's the legacy, you know, you want people to leave. Similar to what people said about John Nash, what you had quoted earlier, that this individual didn't look at, you know, the various points along the path. Instead, he went up to the mountaintop and he said, oh, what is there out there? That's where you want to be. You want to be out there and really defining your legacy, but more importantly, allowing other people to create their own legacies through yours. And
so
that's what what it means, yeah. I think, to really be that inspirational executive within an organization and one that really looks outward instead of just focusing on what's happening inside the organization.
I love the word influence, so influential. So in the time we have left, a couple of ways, and, you know, we don't want to give away the ship because that's the whole point of working with you, but to give us a couple of things we should be doing or thinking about. Obviously, the checklist that you said, the characteristics, the questions we should ask ourselves. Is there anything else that might help us step back and, you know, assess where we want to go?
Well, there are three things that I wanted to let people know. You do have to, first and foremost, take the time to pause and to evaluate. That's the first step that you have to do. And that first step, you can chunk it down. I'm going to run through these very quickly because of time. These are the things that people have to look at as they evaluate. One, business vision. Two, the expertise. What are you good at and what can you do well? Number three, joy. What do you enjoy doing over and over again? Number four, evaluation. At everything you do today, what are you doing today and should you be doing it? Number five is mindset. It's really about shifting your mindset, finding those pivot points that will allow you to say, I can do this, I will do this, and get committed. Number six, focus. Consider your company activities and always have an eye on growth and profitability. Always. Number seven, operations. Look at your processes. This is not what you're doing today. This is how you're doing it. Are you doing it alone? Are you doing it with a team? Are you leveraging what you have? Are you efficient or inefficient? Do you have processes? Number eight, client service and management. This has to have a high priority because it's really the standard bearer for operational excellence, for profitability and growth in your company. You have to deliver good service, always.
Okay.
Number nine, crucial, financial management. And I'm going to sum this up by saying, always know your numbers. If you're not looking at your numbers today, if you're not tracking your numbers today, this is not a good place to be. If you know your numbers, your decisions will not be as difficult to make. And number 10, think about having an advisory team. And that could be anything from personal friends and family to buoy you up on those days when we know we're not going to be as gung-ho about
yes.
business. Right?
Yes.
Mentors or guides. I will say, in this batch of advisors, business coaches, find a great business coach, someone that is going to help you to see, to organize, to plan, and to get it done. Someone who's going to hold you accountable, which is what you want, but will also be a strong support pillar.
And not a yes person, yes.
And not a yes person, absolutely. So that's the first step, is evaluation. The second step is to really focus on the opportunities that will get you into this mode of business mastery, being able to take this journey from employee to business owner to CEO. And that's the catch. You have to, in step two, you have to accept that this is what you have to do, that you're going to have to go through these steps, this process, and that it will take time to accept that. And then, really, the last step for you is going to be about identifying the resources that you need to help you run through this journey. I've talked about the advisory team. I've
right.
talked about process. What this really amounts to is get a mentor or a business coach. Look at the technology that you're using. There are applications out there for so much of what we need to get done to run our business efficiently or to let others run it for us. So consider those applications. Consider the fact that you might need a team and you might need to hire people.
Oh, my.
So these are the three steps. It's evaluation, it's acceptance that you have to change, and it's the investment in the tools and the resources to make it happen. And you can help yourself get started in doing this on my website, www.levelupsolutions.com, you can get a Step Up to Profits business kit. You'll find the area in which you can register to receive this. This is complimentary. It's free to you. That will get you started on this evaluation process. And that's right on the homepage of the website. You get downloads there. There's an audio file. There's an assessment. And there's a checklist form that you can go through to really start this evaluation process for yourself.
Wow. Wow, that's great. So that's great. That was a lot, and I just said at a high level. So that was huge. There must be there's a whole lot to each of those steps that you can take people through.
There's quite a bit to each of those steps.
Yes. Now, do you do workshops or do you do things live with groups or online or anything?
I do workshops. I have a series of workshops called Step Up to Profits. And I also have coming up in the near future, I will be having one-day events that will go into much more detail on this evolutionary process of employee, business owner, CEO. And ultimately, I will be offering coaching that will focus on how to make this journey and really take you through all of the details for your own business so that your business will be one that is, as I like to say, a business that is purpose-driven, influential, and prosperous, and one that has a legacy that you have defined so that others will always know what you wanted to achieve, both in your professional and your personal life.
And listeners can find out about all those programs and all the stuff that you're doing in addition to your business kit at your website, levelupsolutions.com, right?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. In the waning minute or two or three, because the hour goes fast, what haven't I asked you that you want to make sure listeners know? Kind of a, you did a summary, but kind of a, is there anything we haven't talked about quickly that you want them to know?
You know, I believe that's a tough question, one I hadn't expected, but just very, again, off the cuff here, my response would be that I become totally invested in those individuals with whom I work. I take their business development as if it is my own, and I exalt in their successes, whether they be small steps or they end up, as I had one client who created a whole business in 4 months, beginning to end, and quit her job, her full-time corporate job at the end of those 4 months. That was a huge step, and I felt as if I had birthed a new business, when in reality she had, but it became mine too, and that really is how I approach the work that I do with all my clients. And again, I exalt in every step that they take, especially the successful ones, but I exalt even in the ones that they think are not as successful because they have taken the brave action of doing something. And that's why I really urge everyone to think about, if you've listened to this, if there's any component of this that rings true for you and that you want to really have the business that you started to build when you first established it, I urge you to take action, some action, and to step up and move it out.
Great. That's a word I don't hear often, exalt. So that's cool. You exalt. And I'll vouch for that for listeners because Tassie and I have shared an interesting relationship. We've been client and coach. We've been colleague because in different ways we help people take what's in their heads and move them to action in different ways. And we have also become very, very good friends. So this has been, so I will vouch that, yes, you do invest yourself deeply into your clients' success. So, Tessie, thank you so much for being a guest today on Idea Success with Sylvia.
Thank you, Sylvia. I've truly enjoyed it. I love the conversation. I think you're a fantastic host. And here we both are. Everybody who's listening, it's Memorial Day. But, you know, we made the decision to really stick to it and hang in there and get in this game of business. And so here we are spending time with each other and with you, the listener, today. And I thank you also, both Sylvia and the listeners. Thank you.
All right. And with that...
That wraps up another hour of Idea Success with Sylvia, with information and inspiration to turn your dreams into dollars, your concepts into cash, and your ideas into income and impact. Join me next week, same dot time, same dot channel, same dot number, for another episode of Idea Success with Sylvia.